Three, two, one. Here we go. Broadcasting to the four corners of the conservative universe, it's the Matt Locke Show. He loves all things conservative politics, and if there's a microphone nearby, you can bet he'll be the one beating the left over the head with it. And now, a true original, the common sense conservative, here's your host, Matt Locke.
Oh yeah, that's right, beating the left over the head with the truth daily. It is the Matt Locke Show. It's the Tuesday edition. Welcome along for the ride. Do I have a great show for you today? Got breaking news today. Got news about Devin Nunes. I got to turn this down just a tickle. So I was doing an interview, and it always seems like things get messed up when I'm trying to do interviews, but I'll make it so that it works the best that I can. But there's breaking news today. Trump's new media platform, just got a brand new CEO in Devin Nunes, who is stepping down as a representative of the great state of California to run this deal. And now the new media platform and Rumble have a distribution deal. Howard Lutnick, the CEO of Rumble's parent company, Cantor Fitzgerald, stated on Monday they've worked out a distribution deal with Donald Trump's planned Truth social media platform. This is fantastic news because, as we know, with these social media platforms that I hate, go find me at Real Matt Locke on all of them, other than Telegram and Gab TV, The Matt Locke Show. And you might see me back over at Rumble if this Truth social, if this social media, the true social media platform from Trump ends up over on Rumble. But Howard Lutnick, the CEO of Rumble's parent company, Cantor Fitzgerald, stated yesterday they have worked out a distribution deal with former President Donald Trump's planned Truth social media platform. Quote, Truth and the 45th president are going to use Rumble's infrastructure, their technology, their cloud distribution capability. So they are going to be a service provider, a tech provider to the president's Truth social, Lutnick told interviewer John Bachman on his John Bachman Now show. Rumble, a video-based pro-free speech platform, works in a similar manner to other streaming services like YouTube, but promotes neutrality, refusing to censor its users like other big tech companies have done. In direct competition with YouTube, Rumble has grown quickly, reaching a 15% market share among U.S. users over the past year, according to Newsmax. Lutnick continued during the interview, quote, what this is people with political ideology being asked to leave YouTube. Comedians are now coming over. Gamers are coming over. It's a broad group of people that don't want to be censored. They want to be able to speak their minds, speak their truths, and speak their opinions. So I think Rumble, which is neutral down the middle, is going to get a huge following of people who just want to speak their minds. Hallelujah! I mean, seriously, that's all we really want to do, right? We just want to speak our minds. That's it. And I've always said, you know, the left's like, well, if you just go get your own platform, and then Parler came out and they shut it down. They literally took it off the Apple store. They took it off the Google store. They literally shut it down. You have to sideload it now on Parler, which has practically died. It sucks. They did the same thing with Frank Speech over there with Mike Lindell. They did a DNS attack on it as soon as it started. The left doesn't want competition. And now that Twitter has a new CEO in Parag Agrawal, and they said that you can't do memes and everything else, it's time. I mean, it's time, and I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again. It's time to have a conservative, patriotic economy. Platforms where you and I and the left, you know, this isn't just an echo chamber. It can't be. But we have the ability where we can go to these places and they don't shut us down. Like, I tried to put up an article on Twitter today. It wouldn't let me post it. It just wouldn't let me post it. Finally, after four or five times it did, I posted it everywhere else. But people just want to be able to speak their minds. You figure out if it's the truth. Lutnick further iterated that Rumble, after the deal struck with his company, will now have the money now to go do whatever they want to do. Trump's anti-big tech social media startup raised $1 billion. That's a B, kids. It raised $1 billion from investors over the weekend. Over the weekend. to fund the 45th president's digital media venture. $1 billion sends an important message to big tech that censorship and political discrimination must end. America is ready for the true social, a platform that will not discriminate on the basis of political ideology, Trump stated. Now, mind you, I saw on Twitter, and I want to talk about this for a minute, they're now coming after Trump. They're coming after the True Social, the left, the SEC, the FTC. They all want it. Let me see if I can find it here. I tweeted about it this morning, I believe, and I've tweeted a lot since then. So I have to go back and actually find this. But what did I say? When it comes to doing another platform, when it comes to trying to get out of the conservative left social media censorship bubble, they want to stop you from doing it. Let me see here. I can't, and this is the thing with Twitter. I've gone back and I think they hid it from me. I know that I shared it, and I'm sure, little bastards, I swear, I can't wait for a social media platform that will give you unlimited ability just to post what you want to post, right? I mean, in the end, just to have the freedom to say, look, this is what I want to put up. You make heads or tails of it. If you don't want to believe it, you want to argue about it, you want to talk to me, then let's talk. But in the end, you're going to have the ability. I mean, in America, you have the ability to be a dumbass, right? You have the ability to say whatever the hell you want to say. I have the ability to tell you you're a dumbass or not to believe what you say, and then we move on. And I know I shared this, and I'm sure I did, and now I can't find it. But it was a story about Trump in this True Social, and they're going to go out, and the FTC and the SEC and all of this are now looking into the investors behind this platform. Like I said, the left is pissed. The left is absolutely pissed off that the right might do something outside of them. And that's what they hate. So hopefully, and I can't find it, so it doesn't really matter. I can't find it, but here's the deal. They're going to go after Trump. They're going to go after this platform. They're going to go after it. We got to blow it up. I hope he's got his own servers. I hope he's off the server farm of AWS, which is Amazon. I hope he's got offshore servers, whatever it is, like Gab, or has the ability, because otherwise the left is going to come after him. He better have the best people. But he's got Devin Nunes, who is going to run True Social. So here we are. I mean, it's amazing. That's breaking news. I wanted to talk about that. Now, for the rest of the program, coming up in the bottom of the bottom of the show, in the second half hour, I got Josh Amos. He is from Scars and Stripes Coffee. We're going to talk about the venture, the journey, scarsandstripescoffee.com, how you become part of that, what it does for veterans, all that stuff. So I'm really excited about that. He took some time to stop by the Matlock Show. But here's what I want to talk to you about today, okay? We're going to talk about Democrats are trying to escape Joe Biden's atmosphere because their poll numbers are extremely down because Joe Biden's a moron. We're going to talk about the majority of young Americans believe democracy's in trouble. We don't live in a democracy. We live in a republic. That's probably half the problem. We're going to talk about Camel Toe Harris, who's a bully. I was on with Chris X yesterday on KSEV. We talked about this very subject. I'm going to get more in depth, and I'm going to say things I couldn't say on terrestrial radio. We're going to talk about China's military spending, and we're going to talk about the Ghislaine Maxwell case, the largest pedophilia child trafficking case in the world, and you don't know much about it. But I got to pay a bill here. Head over to the Matlock Show. MyPillow.com. It's not the Matlock Show. MyPillow.com/Matlock, MATTLOCKE. You can use promo code Matlock and you can save up to 66% on most everything over at MyPillow, American made. Mike Lindell is a patriot. They got the sale of the year going on right now with their Giza Dream sheets. You can buy one, get one free. They got their classic MyPillow saving up to 75% off with my promo code Matlock. Dog beds, which my dogs love. Towels, you name it. Pillows. You can't beat this. Slippers, mattress toppers, mattresses. Go check it out. MyPillow.com/Matlock. Use the code Matlock. Get up to 66% off. I mean, you can't. Christmas is coming, kids. 18 days We've got 18 days till Christmas. You can still order over at MyPillow.com/Matt Locke. Get it for Christmas. It's a great gift. MyPillow.com/Matt Locke. Proud sponsor of the Matt Locke Show. All right, kids. So I want to talk to you about Democrats. So Democrats, they're freaking out. They want to get out of Joe Biden's atmosphere. The party's own polling has the president in the red. Red's not good. You want to be in the black. Lawmakers know they need to get better at selling his agenda to avert midterm disaster. I don't, you know, can you rearrange his craptastic sandwich any better to tell you that it's not a craptastic sandwich? I mean, that's the problem here. It's so bad. This package, this deal, the Democrats, Joe Biden, it is so damn bad. It's not sellable. And it, you know, it's always the left. Well, we just got to sell it better. Oh, well, you know, the media's got to pick it up for us. No. The media should just be writing the news, right? The who, what, when, where, how, and why. They're not supposed to be the rah-rah cheering arm of the Democrat Party. Now, we know they are. Now, most of these Democrats are worried that Biden's terrible polling numbers, with an approval hovering in the high 30s, will lead to a thrashing at the ballot box with historical headwinds and a GOP-dominated redistricting process already working against them. They fear that unless Biden pulls out of his current slide, Congress will be handed to the Republicans in next year's midterms. Now, I like this. I like the fact that we can get the Dems out of power. But what will the Republicans do, right? What will the Republicans do? We had 80 Republicans in the House alone vote for a vaccine, an immunization vaccine tracking system on you. I mean, what will the Republicans do? We don't want to elect just Republicans. We want to elect Republican patriots. We need patriot-minded representatives to go in and clean house, to actually follow the Constitution of this great United States of America. We are not a democracy. I'm going to talk about that in a minute, but we literally are not a democracy. We are a republic. We are a constitutional republic. We ought to be teaching these kids better in school. But these Democrats know. They know they're in big trouble. They know they're, and think about this for a second. So what does this tell you about all this, right? It tells you that America doesn't like the politics of the left. We don't want socialism. We want freedom. We want liberty. We want choice. We want to be able to choose. And as you see the Democrats, oh, we're not selling it well enough. No, you can't sell shit. I mean, if you got a bad product, it doesn't matter. I've always said this, right? I'm a salesman by trade, have been a salesman my entire life, always was in the top 2 to 3 salesmen in any company I ever worked for. Always was good. But the thing was, I always had a good product, right? You can't sell, I'm sorry, you can't sell a shitty product. I mean, I don't care how good of a salesman you are. And look, the Democrats got the media, they got all the switches, they got government, they got the bully pulpit, they've got it all. It doesn't matter how good your sales tactics are if your product is shit. And even President Trump said it. You go woke turns to shit. Period. He's right. He called Miley a fucking idiot too. I kind of like the new swagger on Trump. Because, you know, that's how I am. I trust people who curse. I'll tell you, I curse all the time like a sailor. I hate to say it. I was listening to Bongino the other day. It was funny. Because Dan Bongino's on Cumulus here, which is 820 WBAP. And I listen to him every now and then, riding around in my car. And he was talking about, you know, what he would do with his podcast. Would he do live podcast from different locations? Would he do a behind the scenes where you could hear what he's talking about during the break? And he says, you know, if you heard the stuff that happened during the break, you would think differently of me. Because see, he's on terrestrial radio, right? He can't cuss. I went on to KSEV with Chris X yesterday, and I have to mind my P's and Q's, right? I can't cuss. Here I can say fuck, shit, damn, whatever I want to do, because that's what I do. And look, I have a potty mouth. I curse like a sailor. Drives my wife nuts, but I'm honest, right? I'm going to give you the honest scoop. And seriously, when you go woke, everything turns to shit. You can't sell this crap. You can't sell this because it's awful. So it doesn't matter how good of a salesman you are. If your product sucks, you will never sell it. Now, it scares me a little bit because Devin Nunes is resigning from Congress. We need good people in Congress. Devin Nunes is one of the good guys. He's one of the half dozen, maybe dozen people that you actually can count on for conservatism. And now he's leaving to become the CEO of the Trump Media Company. Now, mind you, I like that. And I like the fact that we got a Trump Media Company coming because I believe that is going to be the platform where we as conservatives can grow. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I can't grow anywhere. It drives me crazy. I'm on Getter, can't grow. I'm on Parler, can't grow. I'm over on Twitter and Facebook, can't grow. Censorship. I mean, I said to Getter, I said, hey, you know, I have a national radio show. I've been a national talk show anchor on TV. I've been on The Blaze. Could I get verified? I mean, I'm the guy. I have a website. I've got tens of thousands of downloads a day. I mean, what do I need to do? I'm in good with Breitbart. I'm in good with The Blaze. I know lots of people. I mean, what do I got? And I'm not tooting my own horn here. It is so frustrating to go through this and they're like, who are you? I mean, you gotta be kidding, right? But Twitter and Facebook don't want me verified. And I don't really care about Twitter and Facebook anyway. I still hope to get verified on Getter. I'm verified on Gab. I'm verified on Parler, but I can't get verified on Getter. It makes no sense. Here we are. But it's hard. And I think, in my personal opinion, I believe that this Trump social media platform is going to be the way to go. It's going to be how we get our conservative voices out there. Because I'm telling you, this is how I need to grow. You always need to grow. If you're not growing, you're dying, right? If you are not growing, you are dying. And I need to grow. And I've been growing. Thank you. I mean, look, guys, it's been a fabulous year. Thank you so much for the growth in downloads, in what you've done, telling your friends, the orders you placed over at thematlockshow.com. Use MATLOCK10 to get 10% off today. You guys have helped me grow, and I certainly appreciate it. The little engine that could turned into the big engine that did. And I love, love, love that. And I'll never let you down. I will never let you down. I will continue to tell you the truth. I will continue to come here and talk about what is important to you. And I certainly appreciate that. But I think this new social media is going to be the way to go. And that's how you grow, because that's where everybody's at. So go get, if you're within the sound of my voice, which a lot of you are, go get to the Trump social media platform that's coming out, and we'll all be friends. But until then, the Matt Lock Show on Telegram and on Gab TV. So here's the deal. The party's own polling has the president in the red. A poll from House Democrats' campaign arm earlier this month showed the president down in battleground districts across the country. Now, the left, by the way, I'm not going to talk about this, might get into it tomorrow. The DOJ is actually suing Texas for redistricting. And I got a kick out of it because I did put that up on Twitter. And I think it's ridiculous because, of course, where is Joe Biden and the DOJ going? They're coming to Texas. Now, why would they come to Texas? I mean, this is a question that you have to ask, right? Why are you targeting Texas? Yeah, here it is. Biden Justice Department sues Texas over redistricting maps. I said, you know what? Of course they are. Democrats never gerrymander a state. Go look at Illinois. I don't see Illinois getting sued by the Justice Department for gerrymandering. But yet in Texas, why? Because we're a red state. They're going to go after Florida. They're going to go after South Dakota, North Dakota. They're going to go after conservative states because that's what they do. And this is what the left does. And they sit there and they're like, well, Democrat campaign arm earlier this month showed the president down in battleground districts across the country with 52% of voters disapproving of the job he's doing. I'm actually surprised it's that low. I would figure it'd be about 80%. Because there's only about 20 to 25% of the country that is liberal. Of course, the election is 11 months away, an eternity in politics for the midterm. Democrats say once they finally clinch their full agenda, Biden will recover, and so too will their prospects for keeping their slim majorities. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. I've got my crystal ball out here, okay? So I was driving around today doing some errand running and whatnot, and I was listening to the radio Dan Bongino, and they have the news breaks in between. WBAP has them, and Chuck U. Schumer's on there. I'll tell you the next big push, okay? The left isn't going to get the reconciliation bill, I believe, through. They got the infrastructure bill. I don't think the reconciliation is going to get there. I don't know that yet. It could. But the next thing they want to do is they're going to push getting rid of your student loan debt. Chuck Schumer today, we started with 10,000. We want to get rid of 10,000 of your debt so we can help you out because we're in COVID, the new variant, you need help. We shouldn't saddle anybody, right? Well, now the left, I mean, the big push here for the left, and I think right before the midterms, and you're going to see this, is they're going to try to get rid of $50,000 of student loan debt for the students that have it, for every student loan borrower, federally, doesn't matter. So they're literally just going to get rid of your debt. They're going to come in and say, hey, we're going to get rid of $50,000 of your debt. Now, I'm sure some of you got higher than $50,000 in student loans, but he's just going to snap his fingers and get rid of $50,000. You mark my words, Pocahontas wants it, Chuck U. Schumer wants it, and they're going to get it done before the midterms because they need it. They need, I'm going to tell you why. They need the young generation to come out and vote. They need a carrot. They need, because who's got the debt? Young people. Most young people have student loan debt. They went to these universities, they got these shitty degrees in basket weaving and liberal arts bullshit that they can't do anything with in their lives. They're living in mom and dad's basement. They've got no extra money. They're paying $500, $600, $700 a month in student loans. And so what are the left always does things that help them. Not to help you. They're not for helping you. They're for helping them. So what they're going to do is right before the midterms, this is going to be reconciliation. It's a budgetary item, right? It's money. So they're going to come and they're going to say, hey, we don't need 60 votes. We only need a majority, of which they've got in the House, of which it's 50-50 in the Senate with the tiebreaker camel toe. And Joe Biden, you wait, you watch, and you see, and you mark my words today, December 7th, 2021, okay? You mark my words. By October. It'll be like 30 days before the midterm elections. The left is going to get rid of $50,000 of your student loan debt. Mark my words, kids. I'm right about this. It's one of those deals. I'm hearing a lot from my sources right now. There's a lot of chatter about it. Schumer's talking about it. It's the right thing for the greater good for these poor kids who were morons and took out a loan they couldn't pay for, right? Here we are, and it's coming, and you mark my words, in October, it'll be about 30 days before the midterm elections. They've got to throw out a goodie. It's got to be a carrot out there for these millennial generation, for the Gen Zers who got a bunch of college debt and all that stuff. And here's the thing. What happens to people who haven't went to college yet? Are they going to get $50,000 just instantly given to them? I mean, where does this end? And how about the people who have a ton of debt? Who might be doctors, lawyers, engineers, scientists, whatever, who have $200,000 and $300,000 in debt, you know? Or how about everybody that already paid their student loans off? Is everybody in the country just going to get $50,000? I mean, it's a bad move, but I'm telling you, it's the carrot the left is going to use to get the millennial vote. They know it. And they know because Joey Puddin' Pop is getting his ass kicked all over the country. 52% of voters disapprove. I'll bet it's closer to 70. You know, Democrats say once they finally clinch the full agenda, Biden will recover. And so too will their prospects for keeping their majorities. But there's plenty of hand-wringing about where Biden stands. Senate Majority Whip Dick Durbin, for one, said Biden's recent numbers are scary. He says we're in a difficult period right now. One of the challenges we have is we've been legislating this year, and he has, said Senator Bob Casey of Pennsylvania, whose state represents Democrats' best chance of picking up a GOP-held Senate seat. While you're legislating, you're not commuting. You're not communicating. Just 3 years ago, former President Donald Trump unpopularity sank the GOP House majority. Though a favorable map helped Republicans keep the Senate, Biden and Democrats in Congress may face a similar dynamic next year. They have only a handful of vulnerable Senate seats, but a veritable cavalcade of at-risk House seats for them. But even a favorable Senate map might not be enough. Morning Consult found Biden underwater in the battleground states of Georgia, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, New Hampshire, Nevada, and Arizona. Democratic senators are generally running ahead of the president, according to the House Democratic Campaign Arms Poll. The question is how much they need to do in order to win. Democrats acknowledge they have a big problem. Their proposed antidote, finish the battles over legislating as quickly as possible, then spend their next few months taking up their infrastructure and coronavirus relief laws, as well as their forthcoming social spending bill. Quote, maybe it would be the first time the Democrat Party's ever been disciplined on message, said Senator Chris Murphy, Democrat, Connecticut. But theoretically, we could finish a historic year of legislating for the middle class in the next month and spend all of our next year talking about what we did. Still, some fret that even if they do pass Biden's marquee agenda item, the $1.7 trillion climate and social policy bill, it won't bring the big bump at the polls that Democrats are hoping for. House Ways and Means Chair Richard Neal, Democrat, Massachusetts, advised his party to focus on seizing credit. Quote, the messaging challenge is pretty apparent. When you look at the individual parts of what we've done, they're all not just marginally popular, but they're wildly popular with the American electorate. Neal said, while the bill is a massive restructuring of the nation's social safety net, voters won't realize many of its benefit for years. And if the pandemic and a faltering economy still dominate headlines next year, voters may not be moved by any single piece of legislation, according to lawmakers of both parties, until they get rid of your student loan debt. That's what's coming. I'm telling you, I could sit here and talk about this article all day. The left knows what's coming. The left knows they're in big doo-doo. I mean, they know they're in deep doo-doo. They know it. They know it. You know it. I know it. It is about redistricting. It's not about what, where, who's voting, why. They know they can't win with Latinos. You've watched that. Look in Virginia. The Latinos, blacks, minorities all came out, went to the right. They know they're in for a colossal red wave coming in November of 2022. They know it. The only way, I'm telling you right now, kids, you listen to what I'm telling you. Because I'm right. The only way they think they can even win is by giving you free shit. And they're gonna try to get rid of $50,000 of your student loan. I'm telling you. If you've got a student loan, they're gonna wipe out 50 grand. And it's gonna happen in October of 2022. You wait, you watch, and you see. They don't have any other choice. All right. So one of these things I want to talk about here, and then we're gonna get to this interview I have with Josh Amos over with Scars and Stripes Coffee. Majority of young Americans believe democracy is in trouble. Or failing. See, here's the first fault of this deal. We don't live in a democracy. We live in a republic. These kids should be taught this, right? These kids should be taught that we live in a constitutional republic or a representative republic, right? More than half of young Americans, 52%, believe U.S. democracy is in trouble or failing, according to a poll released this week from the Institute of Politics at Harvard Kennedy School. The poll, which surveyed young people between the ages of 18 and 29, here we go. These are the people that do what? They're holding the student loan debt. Found that 39% believe democracy is in trouble. And 13% went as far as to declare the nation a failed democracy. Only 7% of young Americans view the United States as a healthy democracy. And 27% think the country has a somewhat functioning democracy. None of that's true. We're not a democracy. We're a republic. But they're not being taught that in the indoctrination centers of education around this country. Along party lines, Republicans are less hopeful than Democrats about the state of the nation. While Democrats are divided, 44% think healthy somewhat functioning, and 45% believe trouble failed. So they're underwater by one, 44 to 45, about the health of our democracy. 70% of Republicans believe that we're either a democracy in trouble or failed. A majority, 51% of independent and unaffiliated young Americans also say we are in trouble. According to this poll, nearly half, 46% of young Republicans also believe the chances of the second Civil War are at 50% or higher. I don't disagree with them. I believe we're almost at that point too. We're going to come in. I was telling Chris this because I got this story that I'm going to talk about. Well, I'll probably talk about it tomorrow. New York, old Warren Wilhelm. He's putting vaccine mandates. He's putting vaccine passports into play. You can't go to work. Can't do anything. We're hurtling headlong into a national divorce. I'll probably talk about that tomorrow. But so 46% of young Republicans believe the chances of the second Civil War are 50% or higher compared to 32% of Democrats and 38% of independents. Quote, similar patterns hold for those who think secession is likely. That's the national divorce. Overall, 25% rate the chances that 50% are better. However, young Americans, 2-1, value compromise over confrontation. A plurality of every major subgroup prefers elected officials meet in the middle or center at the expense of my preferred policy priorities compared to elected officials pursue my preferred policy priorities at the expense of compromise. You know what that says? This isn't about compromise, by the way. This has nothing to do with compromise. This is, these kids don't understand. They've seen this go so far left that they think compromise is to the right. That's really what they're telling you. They don't understand, I don't think, what they're actually saying. But what I think they're saying, and this is just my interpretation, by the way, okay? So take this for what it is. I believe they're saying they want conservative policies. They don't like what is currently happening in this country today. Think about it. They think civil war is coming. Think about it. They think that we're at a point of national divorce or secession. I mean, this is crazy stuff, right? This is crazy stuff that we are currently dealing with in this country today. It's absolutely 100% amazing. And these poor young people, young Americans, listen to this. This breaks my heart. Young Americans overall have a less patriotic view of the United States. Doesn't that make you sad? We are the shining city on the hill, as Ronald Reagan said. We are the last bastion of freedom. We are the last hope in the world of liberty and choice and freedom. And young Americans overall have a less patriotic view of the United States. That just breaks my heart. With Democrats and Republicans at opposite ends. According to the report, half of young Americans think There are other nations as great or greater than America. No way. Less than a third of young Americans, 31%, believe America is the greatest country. And 18% say they do not know. Quote, the views of Democrats and Republicans are inverted, with 21% of Democrats saying America is the greatest country. Just 21%. 2 in 10 for those of you in Flint of the Democrat persuasion say America is the greatest country. That's the problem. See, they don't like America. They think that we deserve this. They think we need to be knocked down. They don't believe America is great. And it's the, like I said, the last bastion of freedom. But so the view of Democrats and Republicans are inverted, with 21% of Democrats saying America is the greatest country and 64% saying other nations are greater. 62% of Republicans believe that America is the greatest. I can't believe that. That should be 100. By the way, with 24% saying other nations are greater, according to the poll. The poll was organized by the Harvard Public Opinion Project and conducted between October 26th and November 8th with a margin of error of 3%. That, my friends, breaks my heart because we are the shining city on the hill. We're it. That's all. I'll tell you what, though, I want to get to this interview. I asked Josh Amos to come on. He's with Scars and Stripes Coffee, the platform, the movement, empowering veterans. Scars and Stripes Coffee is the official coffee of the Matlock Show. I want you to listen to my interview with Josh. Here we go. All right, everybody, I want to introduce my guest to you. I should be able to speak here, I guess. I want to introduce to you my guest. His name is Josh Amos. You gotta describe Josh. He's with Scars and Stripes Coffee. Who is the official coffee of the Matlock Show? Describe what your position is with Scars and Stripes, considering it's in the military veteran world and not the world that I come from. And welcome to the program, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Matt, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on the show. So I'm technically a regional platoon sergeant for Scars and Stripes Coffee. We structured our leadership like the military, so it's familiar for our veterans when they sign up.
So how did this come about, Josh? You and I met at the celebrity softball game here in Dallas, but how did you get it? First of all, thank you for your service, by the way. What branch did you serve in?
I was in the Navy.
Okay, so you were in the Navy. How did Scars and Stripes Coffee and you come about?
You know, it's kind of an interesting story, and I'll keep it down to the cliff notes. But I got stationed out in California when I was in the service, and they paid me a lot more money to stay in school out there than to come back to a small town in Texas. But recently, within the last couple of years, I moved back and I was working with a nonprofit, building some cabins and stuff, and for a possible veteran program. And I linked up with a guy named Zach Brown, the man, not the band. You know him well.
Oh, I know Zach time. Brown. Yes.
I actually met you through Zach the first time. And so I was working with him, and he introduced me to Scars and Stripes Coffee. And he said, "Hey, man, we roasted our first bag November 8th of last year. This was in April of 2019 when we met." So the company, you know, they had roasted their first bag. It was only about 6 months old.
Yeah.
And he pitched me the idea, and I loved it. I'm a huge advocate for suicide awareness, yes, mental health awareness. I've been affected too many times personally, inside my family and outside my family, service and non-service. And so when he kind of pitched me the idea, I fell in love with it. You know, there's nothing like it. There's no product I know that you can go buy that 20% right off the top is goes back to a veteran who's in a leadership position in the company.
And I like so Chad Watts is who I work with, and I love Chad to death. Yeah. And I like what he's come up with because, you know, obviously empowering veterans, and I want to talk about that for just a second. I wear my 22 kill ring every day. I'm good friends with the chairman of the board of 22 kill, Dan Lombardo, and I'm with you. If I can help veterans in any way, I want to do that. So when Chad approached me and said, "Hey, let's talk about what's happening. Can you help me get the name out there?" It was an instant yes for me. So 20%, you say, comes right off the top and goes to the veteran?
Yeah. So even if, say you ran into somebody at a farmer's market or an expo or some sort of a, you know, even a national event, our guys are setting up all over the United States. We're encouraging our veterans to go out and set up events, be active in your community, be active in your veteran community, you know, get up off the couch, stop treating your disability check like an unemployment check and, you know, put one foot in front of the other and go do something. That's the first thing, you know, communication, community, camaraderie, and coffee.
Well, and let's talk about that coffee, by the way, and I just can't have any dead air. I know you took some time there, but let's talk about some coffee here because I drink your coffee. It is fantastic. I love the Downrange, which is the full bodied. It's the dark roast. That's how I like my coffee, bold, and I like it black, and I like it unvarnished.
Absolutely. That was the original. That was the very first roast. And it's absolutely, I think it's everybody's favorite.
Yeah. But you have others, right? You've got dark roast, you've got light roast, you've got decaffeinated, you've got K-cups. You've got a full line of coffee, correct?
Yep, absolutely. We've got the Brazilian, which is a dark roast. We have a Guatemalan, which is the medium. That's called Green Zone. Mm-hmm. And then we have a Kona exclusive from Kona, Hawaii, called First Light, as well as our decaf, which is called Standby, kind of a play on words.
And they're all amazing. I mean, I'm sure that I haven't tried the decaf. I've tried a couple of them, but I'm sure they're all amazing. So not only are you empowering veterans, which is amazing, by the way, these veterans, like you said, get off the couch, be aware, be involved. Don't treat your disability check like an unemployment check. They're out there. It could be a side hustle for some. It could be a full-time job for another. I know you guys are everywhere. How big, I mean, how far has Scars and Stripes grown in the last year or so?
I mean, it's been incredible. I've got to be on a great journey with these guys. What I feel like was from the beginning. We did Made in America in Indianapolis, and Fox News picked us up
right
the second day. We got picked up by Fox News again. We got invited to the White House, got to talk about small business during COVID.
Wow.
Chad and Bradley Dean and a couple other guys got to go up there and do a lot of these interviews and get the message out there. You know, let's try to raise some awareness. And, you know, we're trying to help give purpose to the veterans. You know, with purpose comes solutions. It's been a great journey, to be honest. Been absolutely incredible.
So let's talk about how this happened. So what does a veteran listening to you today, how do they sign up? What do they do to become part of this team?
So a veteran, whether you run into somebody in person or you see a Facebook ad or, you know, maybe somebody tells you about it, it's as simple as going to the website, www.scarsandstripescoffee.com, and you click For the Veterans. And under For the Veterans, it's going to have all the information, and what we're going to provide. They'll get a welcome kit. They'll get small business information as well as social media information, your business accounts. I mean, veterans are creating their own small business within the company.
And that is so amazing, by the way. I know I've got at least one of my listeners in Indiana who has done this, and I think he's doing very well at it. I think it's amazing that you guys have come around veterans and empowered them to be entrepreneurs, as we're in a time today where, you know, there's a lot of opportunities out in the world to do great things. But not only are you selling great coffee, you're empowering the veterans. So how do people find Scars and Stripes Coffee? How do they find you? How do people just, when they go order coffee, what happens? Does a guy in that area just come up, or a gal?
So the way it works is, you know, veterans can set up their retail accounts anywhere, and they're going to make a 10% commission on every retail account they set up.
Okay.
No matter how small, how large. You can order online. What's great about this is we created something called the Random Veteran Generator. So say you don't know somebody in the company, you go to the website, you go to order coffee. Before you check out, it's going to ask you, do you know someone in the company? And if you hit no, it's going to auto-generate 4 random veterans with a picture and a little snippet about, you know, their time in service, rank, everything, rate. And you can actually read about them and then choose somebody specifically. You know, maybe it might resonate with you. You know, your grandfather was in the Air Force and that just kind of resonated with you, whatever the correlation is. But these are guys that are in leadership positions. This isn't somebody who signed up to get a 20% discount on their coffee.
Right.
This is somebody who signed up and actually stepped into a leadership position, is making sales, is out, you know, bringing awareness to other veterans and, you know, meeting people, recruiting people, and just helping spread the word as to what we're doing.
I'll tell you, it is so fantastic. And I'm going to say to this to you, Josh Amos, thank you for taking the time to be on the Matlock Show. Go to scarsandstripescoffee.com, the official coffee of the Matlock Show. I've met a lot of you. I mean, I've met a lot of you guys now. I've met probably a dozen or so of the Scars and Stripes guys. We're going to have a couple more folks on hopefully this month to talk about their journey and to help veterans go out there. So if you are a veteran, go to scarsandstripescoffee.com. Go figure out how to sign up. It's not that hard. Josh did it, right? So it can't be that difficult. Yeah. And Josh, thank you so much for being on the Matlock Show. Certainly appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. And, you know, every veteran gets their own unique URL. So if you wanted to order coffee through mine, it would be http://ss.coffee/cowboy.
/cowboy. I like it. From here, yes, in the great state of Texas, Josh Amos, Scars and Stripes Coffee. Thank you so much.
Awesome, Matt. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And there you go, man. It's wonderful to talk to these fellas. And I'll tell you, I know Tim there in Indiana is doing the coffee. We certainly appreciate that. Justin in Oklahoma. I brought a few people. I was telling Josh after that interview, I said, man, I've brought a few people to Scars and Stripes Coffee, and that makes my heart full because they're great people. Chad Watts is an amazing man. They're doing great work. And like I said before, if there's anything I can do for the veteran community, I will do it in a heartbeat and no questions asked. ScarsandStripesCoffee.com, the official coffee of the Matlock Show. Have you got a favorite? Go find them, or you can go check out Cowboy there. I know, like I said, one of the listeners, Tim, the Truth Brigade, a lot of you are buying from him. Thank you. I'm sure he appreciates it too. I didn't realize that they get 20%. That's fantastic. Or 10% of any retail they start up. So Tim, get out there and get you some coffee places. Get you in some coffee places. Get 10% of all the coffee you sell there. I love it. Want to move on here because we've got about 15 minutes. Time flies when you're having fun, but I want to talk about Camel Toe. I want to take a few minutes. So I was on with Chris X yesterday on KSEV 700 AM out of Houston, Texas. And he was asking me about this whole situation with Camel Toe. And I'm going to tell you, ex-staffer, here's the headline. Ex-staffer calls Kamala Harris a bully, unloading soul-destroying criticism on her. And it's written by our good friend over at Breitbart, Charlie Spearing, who's been on the show many times. And Chris X asked me, he says, Matlock, are you shocked that we're seeing this? No, not even in the least bit. And I laid it out, and I'm sure you can go back and listen to the program from yesterday with Chris, but I'm not shocked. Here's a woman, and she identifies as a woman because she was hired because of her vagina, right? And she got hired because of her skin color. She's Jamaican and Indian, not black. But here is a woman who was hired because of her skin color and her womanly parts. That's it. She wasn't hired because of her experience. She wasn't hired because she has expertise. She wasn't hired for her education. Hell, California hated her. She couldn't get 2% vote in her own state where she was a senator. And you know why she was a senator? I mean, she's sleeping with Willie Brown and everybody else out there. I mean, look, I'm all for a woman using her womanly charms to get ahead in life. Hey, I'm a man. I like womanly charms. I'll be the first to say it. But you know, the thing is, I'm not shocked at this at all. Former staffers for Vice President Kamala Toe Harris continue speaking out anonymously. For those of you in Indiana, they will not give their names, about their experience working for her as she faces questions about her leadership. She's never been a leader, so she doesn't know how. One staffer described Harris as a bully in a Washington Compost story who does not do the work necessary for the job. Shocking! Quote, it's clear that you're not working with someone who is willing to do the prep and the work, the former staffer said. With Camel Toe, you have to put up with a constant amount of soul-destroying criticism and also her own lack of confidence. So you're constantly sort of propping up a bully, and it's not really clear why. Let me tell you what's clear here. I said this today on Chris X's show. It's like bipolar, right? She doesn't know. I mean, the left are bullies. That's just a given. The left are bullies. Look at the COVID mandates, the restrictions, the lockdowns. They want to run your life. The left is going to run your life. They're going to tell you it's good for you. Shut up, sit down, be quiet, and just do as we say. Because they're communist. They're socialist, Marxist, communists who are bullies. But secondly, Kamala Harris is dumb as a brick. There ain't a brain cell in that head of hers. And she's made it through life with her womanly pleasures, her charms, if she has them. She must be good at something because she's the second most powerful person in the world. But, you know, the problem is she doesn't know how to do anything. She's never had to. She's never had to perform, to be qualified, to get a job. She's always just done what she's done. And now these poor staffers, think about it too. These probably Gen Zs, or maybe millennials are trying to work for her. And I'll tell you, I feel bad for these aides that work in Washington, D.C., because that's not a life I'd want. That is not a life that I would want. It would be ridiculous. They're doing all the work and they have no idea. They've not been educated. These poor kids, they're trying to persuade, they're trying to pacify her. They're trying to do the right thing and they're just getting destroyed. Four of Harris's staff are leaving the vice president's office by the end of the year as more media outlets detail internal struggles and infighting as her approval ratings keep sinking. Now, I think this is being done on purpose, attacking Camel Toe. I don't think Jill likes Camel Toe. I think they want to run her off. I think this is a hit job coming out of the Biden wing of the White House, the shade war, as Jack Posobiec calls it. And you're seeing it right now, and I think this is calculated. Senior advisor and chief spokesperson Simone Sanders announced her plans to leave, as well as communications director Ashley Antony, director of press operations Peter Vels, and Vince Evans, the deputy director of Office of Public Engagement and Intergovernmental Affairs. In July, Carly Sackowick, the director of Advance, and Gabrielle DeFranchetti, the deputy director of Advance, revealed their plans to leave her office as well. In June, one person with knowledge of her office described to Politico an abusive environment where people are thrown under the bus. Well, that's the Democrat way too. Look at the blame president. I mean, Camel Toe learned from the best, right? Nothing was Obama's fault. Nothing is Joe Biden's fault. It's everybody else's fault. Do you think that Camel Toe's, you know, immune to that? She's going to throw everybody under the bus. She can't, because it's never going to be her fault. It's not a healthy environment. People often feel mistreated. It's not a place where people feel supported, but a place where people feel treated like shit, the person says. Woo! A November poll showed that only 13%, that's 1/3, of Democrat voters say they would support Harris for president in 2024 if President Joe Biden decides not to run for re-election. That's why they're trying to run the Wonder Boy, Buttigieg. They want to run the gay Wonder Boy out of all this because they know that Camel Toe doesn't have a chance in hell of making it as president. All right, final story here. I'm going to save the China stuff for tomorrow because I want to talk about this. Deafening silence as media ignore the Ghislaine Maxwell case, the Jeffrey Epstein black book, which I saw Ted Kennedy's names in it, Alec Baldwin's names in it. A lot of famous people's names are in it. I'm starting to see that come out on social media. But the trial of Ghislaine Maxwell, the associate to Jeffrey Epstein, is now a week in. It's been a week, kids, and the media has been silent. Crickets. I didn't realize that sounder was that long. Crickets, by the way. While you might hear mention of it here and there, certainly there's not the media circus like the Kyle Rittenhouse trial or the Jussie Smollett. Oh my God. Chris X asked me about that today. I've been following it. I want to talk about it because first of all, I don't want to know about gay bathhouses. And secondly, they're snorting coke. And I mean, this is just a clusterfuck. I mean, the guy's as guilty as hell. He paid the people to beat him up. It's a hoax. But it, done, right? They brought in a mirror. It was the Babylon Bee brought in an article that says, hey, they brought in a mirror so that Jussie Smollett could face the people that beat him up himself. But anyway. So there's no media circus around any of this. Zero Hedge reported earlier this week that there is no live stream of the trial. And this fact has led to speculation that the elites are trying to cover up something, which they are, all of these powerful names, right? Certainly the powers that be do want things covered up. They want this gone. I mean, this is, you think about this for a second. This is the largest trial of sex trafficking in the world. That's what Epstein was doing. He was trafficking in sex. The Lolita Express, Lolita Island, all the shit that happened, you can't throw this under, that's why Jeffrey Epstein's dead. And then they found out that his I can never think of that. The bone in his neck was broke because of strangulation, not because of hanging himself. But the powers that be, they want to cover this up. They want to cover up everything. Hannah Cox for the Foundation for Economic Education notes that this is a federal trial and no cameras are allowed during any federal case, quote, but the vast majority of these reports have been flatly false, Cox wrote about speculations. Maxwell's trial will not be filmed for one reason and one reason only. Cameras have been banned in federal courts for decades, which is the level at which she'll be tried. Media will still be allowed in the courtroom, as will a certain number of spectators, Cox added. So as Americans are becoming more aware of the abuses in our justice system, as we should demand that practices like prohibiting recordings be abandoned so all citizens have a greater ability to hold government actors accountable. What? What in the hell did she say? That's not to say that the elites don't want this specific trial aired. Epstein's pilot, Lawrence Vizaki, of the referred to the plane Lolita Express, named names on Monday, including well-known celebrities and politicians, including former presidents Bill Clinton and Donald Trump, as well as British royalty Prince Andrews, as having flown on the plane. Zero Hedge also reported on this, noting that there are some arguing the revelation of Trump being on the plane were false. Now, I'm hearing, by the way, new information on this. Supposedly, Trump did fly on the plane, by what I'm hearing, from my sources, and that he didn't fly to Lolita Island. He flew from Florida to New York, which is interesting, but Epstein had an apartment or whatever the hell it was, a mansion up in New York. He lived in Florida. Trump was down in Florida. That's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that Trump never went to Lolita Island. That's what I'm hearing. I don't know that to be true, but that's what I'm hearing from my sources, right? So we do know that all these names came out. Regardless, why is the media so silent on this? It certainly has the gossip and political intrigue the media loves to traffic in, and they do. They love these kind of stories. They love to traffic, but here's the problem. It involves people in high rank and high power that they're connected to, that they get paid from, they get kickbacks from to shut their mouths, be quiet, and write favorable stuff about them, right? It just feels like a cover-up. like, say, the relative lack of inquiry over the questionable death of Epstein in prison in 2019. Although called a suicide, high-profile forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Baden said in 19 that the signs pointed to a homicide. Matt Agarist from the Free Thought Project, the media has other pressing propaganda to preach, namely COVID-19 fear. Quote, in a comparison of Google News hits, Omicron variant is receiving more than 10 times the number of hits as Ghislaine Maxwell. This media blitz is in spite of the fact that the doctor who discovered it, who is a COVID-19 advisor to the South African government, said that symptoms linked to the Omicron coronavirus variant have been mild so far, but you shouldn't be worried about Maxwell at all. You need to worry about Omicron and Jussie Smollett, whose trial also happened to start today. Agarist added, as corporate media keeps Americans in a constant state of fear while simultaneously stroking hatred and divide, Maxwell's trial has very little chance of transparency and coverage. Luckily, independent media has and will step in to report it as those in the mainstream continue to muddy the waters. You know, here's the thing, and we all know, Google can change algorithms to change what you see. Do you think they're doing it? Of course they are. That's why I'm telling you, this Trump Truth social media is going to be needed. Hopefully it stays neutral. Hopefully it allows people to put up information that you then can make a decision on. Now, there is some coverage coming from some other outlets like The Sun, which is a British-owned newspaper. The prosecution has called Maxwell a dangerous predator and a partner in crime of Epstein and a sex trafficking ring of underage girls. She's a bottom girl. Yaku Boyan said this. She's a bottom girl. She was the groomer. She was the woman who was grooming the young ladies for Epstein's sick little fantasies and fetishes. We know Epstein was knocking boots with young girls. We know it. We know Prince Andrew. We know the names in it. We know why you went to Lolita Island. It was not a mystery. Quote, the defendant helped Epstein find those girls. She helped him recruit those girls for so-called massages. She preyed on the vulnerable young girls, manipulated them, and served them up to be sexually abused. Make no mistake, she knew exactly what Epstein was going to do to those children when she sent them inside those rooms. But what was happening in those massage rooms was not a massage. Those girls were not professional masseuses. They were kids being sexually exploited and abused. Epstein's brother, Ian, has effectively called Maxwell a scapegoat for government incompetence. He said the charges she currently faces were brought in an attempt to save face and give the baying crowd a scalp, deflecting from the authorities' own incompetence and allowing Epstein to die on their watch. Elizabeth Loftus, a cognitive psychologist professor, is testifying for the defense, suggesting the alleged victim, which include four accusers, have been manipulated by media sensationalizing. Quote, her testimony will concern the workings of human memory, the effects of suggestion on memory, the mechanisms of creation of false memories, the characteristic of false memories, how memories fade and weakens over time, and how memory becomes more vulnerable to contamination. Defense filing stated. Now, that's the funny thing, because if you'll remember, and I want to say one more thing, because we're almost out of time. If you remember Christine Blasey Ford, she accused Kavanaugh of sexually assaulting her, but she couldn't remember how. Now, it's funny, because you got a psychologist saying, well, she couldn't remember how. I would think, if I were in that position, being that traumatized, you would remember it all. Now, I could tell you times in my life that I remember like they were yesterday because I was abused as a young man by a very abusive father. I could tell you every single time it happened. In clarity, in detail. It doesn't go away with time. You learn to live with it. You learn to cope with it. You deal with it and all that stuff. And I'm not trying to throw a pity party here. I'm just telling you, I come from that world. I remember every single detail of it. And I'm sure these women do too. So the psychologists, suck it. All right, kids, that's it for the Matlock Show today. So glad you're along for the ride. Go find me at Real Matlock on all my social medias, The Matlock Show over on Telegram and Gab TV, and TheMatlockShow.com. Use Matlock 10, get 10% off today. That's it for today, The Matlock Show. It's out.